We break into a conversation. You see, son, I want you to know more about a woman's body. Her womb is actually God's workshop. He's actually at work. When you were in your mom's womb, he was knitting you together, son. Dad, too much information. No, he really was. There's a whole lot more going on, and I want you to understand God's will and his ways for you. He knit you together. God made your feet. He made your little heart. And when you look at the girls at school, I want you to understand that God can work in them too, just the same way. Their wombs are sacred ground. Too much information, Dad. And now I want to give you this blessing, son. Let your fountain be blessed. Dad! Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Maybe I should have given you the rating on this sermon. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Nathaniel. Our meditation this morning is titled Sexuality and Jesus. They really fit together like hand to glove. Though in our culture, we've wanted to separate that as much as we can. But really, they walk hand in hand across the whole spectrum of sexuality, no matter how you think about it. You know, if we spent time sharing with our children these images of sex education God's ways, what do you suppose it would do in helping them against the onslaught of sex education the American way? How would it have helped some of us if Dad would be blessing our fountains or talking about the sanctity of daughters' wombs? It's safe to say, without sounding too dramatic, that our culture is sexually stimulated and overly sexually focused. I mean, it's like in the air we breathe. You can hardly go anywhere where it isn't being showcased in one fashion or another. And it certainly is something that we have to address and think about, because it's the season of Epiphany. And Epiphany is about discoveries, those aha moments. It's like when a guy discovers the opposite sex, girls, boys, and their own sexuality. My goodness, this is what's going on. Oh my goodness. It's about learning what God would have us understand about our own sexuality. The challenge is that God's ways of sex education are so different than the ways of our American culture. We live in a culture where it's all about plumbing and safety and social engineering. It's a whole lot more than that. And yet, there's all about the dress codes and the puppy love and the dating and lots of it and safe sex and contraception, cohabitation, and it's big business in all kinds of different ways from one spectrum to the other, whether it's pornography or abortion. There's a lot of money in sexuality in America. And yet, there's a tremendous amount of heartache and emptiness and brokenness and frustration and struggle. And sexuality is a gift. It's not meant to be this way. Your sexuality, dear saints of God, is a gift. How many of us feel like it's been more of a curse than it's been a gift? And yet, God wants us to understand that it's a gift. It's a gift. God created the human race, male and female. And yet even there are struggles. You know, you have to be tender with those who are struggling with their sexuality, or their maleness or femaleness. All of things got broke in the Garden of Eden, including how we can identify. And when people are struggling with their identity, talk to them about it. And then bring Jesus into it. Well, let's talk about it with the Lord. How many conversations should dads have with their sons? And when is it appropriate for dad to have that conversation with the daughter? And how many conversations should those be? And when are moms needing to talk to sons, explaining what it means to be a woman? And how often should that be done? Of course, the answer is as often as it's needed. I mean, think about it. They're talking about it a lot in elementary school. Did you know that? Long time ago, in Hollidale, Minnesota, in another St. Paul Lutheran church, community of less than 300 people, you know, they don't have fences. And all of a sudden, here's some elementary kids doing the sex acts on the front yard for the whole town to see. Look, if you're not talking about it by now, it's already been covered quite a bit. Now, was it God's way you think was covered? Were there discussions about how the sanctity of the womb is and that it's God's workshop? And how fountains are to be blessed and used and focused on one? I don't think so. By the time it's to junior high, there's all kinds of sex going on. And in high school, how many partners have there been? And what's with all of that? And what are we going to do? And yet, sexuality is to be a gift. And there's all kinds of reasons. First of all, it's nice to have that intimacy. There are times in your marriage where maybe you're having a hard time with each other. You probably just need to, well, boom, boom. Just got to do it. Just got to say it. And it's okay. And if you don't on a regular basis, the devil's going to get into the details. And Paul warns against that. Let the husband and wife come together so that the devil doesn't get into the details. Because the devil loves to get into the details. And yet, even more than the devil, God is in the details of all of our sexuality. You know, when people are having a hard time waiting, talk with the Lord about your sexuality. And think about sharing these truths. I just love Psalm 139. I mean, think about this. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I mean, think about it. Women, moms, wombs are God's workshop. I mean, what kind of tools does he have on the shelves? I don't even know how to figure all this stuff out, but what a beautiful picture it is to think that God is at work. You were made by God. You were. And maybe you're struggling with things about you and what's going on, but God doesn't make junk. You're his workmanship. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How often do you suppose you need to say that to your little kids and then your adolescent kids and then even your older kids? How many of us, even as adults, find ourselves struggling with just, you know, our feebleness at times, the way we're fumbling around with this or that? I mean, the longer I'm alive, the more I realize, gosh, I'm just making these rookie mistakes. Why am I doing this? Wanted to fire myself a couple of times this last week. Then I hired myself again because I knew I needed to get the work done for you. probably want to fire myself again here this next week too. So am I going to settle for my opinion of myself, or am I going to settle with God's? And if this is what we're sharing with the people around us, why not share it? You know, our kids are in a pressure cooker. You know, when they're little, they're so much fun, and then they go to school, and it's just, you can tell, they're growing and they're learning, and it's harder. And why is it so much work to teach them how to tell the truth? And then they're saying, I'm no good at this, or I'm no good at that. And then they get to be adolescent, the raging hormones, and then they're starting to have acne because of what's going on inside of them. It's hard. You know, the biggest category of suicides are teenagers and then old men. That's the biggest category. It's hard. But if we're telling them how beautiful they are and how wonderfully they're made, they might disagree with us, but tell them the truth, like Eli failed to do. The truth of what God has in store for them, the truth of what they are. Because it's hard. And when you ache for them, pray for them. And when you don't know what to say, ask Jesus to help you talk about their sexuality with them. They need to hear it from you. And maybe it won't be first, because it gets spread out pretty quick, pretty fast. But they need to hear it from you. They need to hear about their bodies and their sexuality from you. And they need to hear about it with Jesus, because it fits together so well. They need to understand the gift of what they are by God's design, and what it means to have kids, and what it means to keep the devil from getting into the marriage, and to understand these things. I mean, look at verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. You know, I don't know how many times I read Psalm 139, and then I just had this epiphany, you know, this burst of revelation. And it's this part of verse 15. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth. I mean, I thought for years the depths of the earth was like the mantle, right? And the core. I mean, we all learned that in science, right? But guess what the depths of the earth are? Moms. The depths of the earth. I mean, what an image. What a sacred space. What holy ground. God at work. But check this out. Paul said to the Corinthians, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not a shotgun shack. You're not a ranch-style house. You're not a condominium. You're not a condemned building. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God seeks to dwell in you because you were bought with a price. You know, maybe a lot of this conversation today, you feel like, well, Pastor, I sure wish someone would have talked like that, like this with me when I was younger. And maybe you kind of wish you could reel in your grown kids and talk a little bit more. Or maybe you're feeling like you're broken and there are places in your sexuality where you still feel like I can't share this with anybody. Because our sexuality is certainly a complicated subject. But sexuality and Jesus fit together like a glove and a hand. And this is why. Because you were bought with a price. Jesus paid to make you his precious, holy dwelling place. This afternoon, or this evening rather, the youth are going to get together. We're going to finally have an epiphany party. And I like to have an epiphany bonfire. It's a Rawlinson tradition. And it's where you just have the kids sit outside and we blaze up as much as we can. We'll use the fire plan because I know we have zoning codes around here and everything. But we're going to blaze. And when you have a fire, guess what you start smelling like? Smoke. And it's in everything. You know, we live in such a sexually overstimulated culture that we can't help but smell like it, even as Christians. We cannot help but be affected by it, even as believers. you know, dabbling in this and dabbling in that and making these risky decisions and that, and then saying, oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into? But what's cool tonight is I'm going to point out to the kids how the flames keep doing what to the darkness, pushing it away. Epiphany. And there are places in your sexuality where that light continues to shine and it'll push. So if you can't talk to anybody else, talk with the Lord about where it hurts or it doesn't make sense or it's frustrating. Maybe you're wishing God would use your womb as a workshop and you don't understand why it hasn't worked. Trust that the light of God's love will affect that. But I'm going to tell the kids tonight what I'm telling you right now is not only does the light of God's love help you in all the places where you're hurt and you're broken, not just your sexuality, but everywhere. But what happens in that love that God has for you is that you become those little pierces of light to the world around us. So don't just give up and give in and say, well, we're just so sexually screwed up in our culture, I can't make a difference. Don't give up. Just keep being who you are. And let the light of Christ go through you. And it begins having those conversations. Maybe you're thinking about how you're going to have a conversation with your grandchild, your grandson, your granddaughter, or with a niece or a nephew. You realize you got to do. Go for it. Share the truth. Let the light shine. And then leave the outcome to God. Because God's at work. I mean, think about what God is doing in your life. You're a temple. He's not done working on you. He's got more to build and more to shape within you and me. I mean, you're getting better and better all the time. Even though now you stand fully and freely loved by God. Still, He's at work. Because God doesn't make junk. Well, I'm glad I've been able to have this conversation with you. And sometimes it's awkward. But it sure is important for me to share the truth about how precious you are to God and what God wants to do through you and the gifts that God has given to you. Gifts that are yes and amen in the light of God's love for you. Not only is that light shining on Savannah, that little candle, but it's shining on all of us. In Jesus and in His name, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.